Evangelist D.L. Moody would tell the story of a young woman in Edinburgh, Scotland, who had wandered away from God and her parents. And he would use this story to begin some of his messages. One night, this young woman was so miserable in her sinful lifestyle that she decided to commit suicide. Sin promises all kinds of things, and yet it leads to death. And so she was ready to end her life, but before she did, she wanted to look one last time at the place where she was born and raised. It was late at night. It was dark when she arrived at the old house where her widowed mother still lived. She stood in front of the house, out kind of on the sidewalk, and just thought about her childhood. There was a fence with a gate right in front. She opened the gate up and walked down the path towards the house. Even though she was not intending to go in, she just wanted to get closer. And again, she had all these memories flooding her thoughts in reference to what it was like when she was young. However, she came closer to the house. She could see that the front door was wide open. And again, it's night, it's dark. Fearing that some harm might have come to her mother, she went inside and she called out, saying, "Mother, the door was wide open. Are you okay?" Hearing her daughter's voice, the mother came running downstairs, threw her arms around her, and in tears said, "Maggie, it has been so long since you went away, but my prayer has always been, Lord, please bring my daughter home. Whether she comes during the day or the night, I want her to see an open door and know that she is always welcome." You see, the mother didn't condone or enable the daughter's sinful lifestyle, but she never stopped praying. She never stopped longing for her daughter to come home. And she was there if her daughter truly wanted to change. That night, the open door of their mother's house, Moody says, allowed her daughter to find her way back to the open door of Jesus Christ. And as she turned to him in repentance and faith, she experienced his loving pardon and cleansing of her sin. What a beautiful story. You know, it's all because of the undying Christ-like love of a godly mother who never gave up on her wayward child. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want to speak about showing honor to mothers, showing honor to mothers. The Word of God speaks about this in numerous places. And we're going to be looking at just two aspects of honoring mothers this morning. The first aspect is this. I call it God's command to honor them. The first aspect of honoring mothers is God's command to honor them. Now, we officially celebrate Mother's Day as a result of the many efforts of a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis. After her mother's death in 1905, Anna wrote numerous letters and traveled extensively around the country making speeches about the importance of having an annual day to honor mothers, which was her own mother's passion. Her own mother wanted to see that happen. And so Anna picked up the torch after her mother died and did everything she could. On May 10th, 1908, she organized the first Mother's Day celebration in memory of her mother at a church in Grafton, West Virginia. Within the next few years, the idea of a special day to honor mothers gained popularity. It began to grow. And Mother's Day was observed in many large cities around the United States. Then on May 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as officially Mother's Day, the Sunday that was closest to the death of Anna's mother. That's why we celebrate Mother's Day today, annually. But I want to inform you that God Himself commanded that we need to show honor to our mothers much sooner than that. In the fifth of the Ten Commandments, recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, as well as Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, listen as I read. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Again, this was given to the children of Israel as they were now getting ready to go into the promised land. God wanted them to know, this is one of the Ten Commandments, that you honor your father and your mother. Jesus repeated the command to honor your father and mother on several occasions in the Gospels. And then God, through Paul, declared in Ephesians chapter 6, the passage we read this morning, verses 2 and 3, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, the word honor means to value, to prize, to esteem. Honor has to do with a heart attitude of love that expresses itself outwardly in treating others with proper respect, with reverence, with dignity. So this is the heart attitude out of which certain honorable acts are done. The word honor here is in the present tense, indicating that the honoring of one's parents is to be an ongoing, continuous reality, not just a one-time act. We don't just do it one day out of the year. This is to be something that is ongoing, and God has commanded this. Therefore, it's not a suggestion, it's not an option, it's something that we are responsible to do. We never outgrow God's command to honor our parents. Never. As we read in Ephesians 6:1, the only command given to children is to obey your parents. But as children grow up, they leave the home. They're no longer under the parents' authority to obey what they say. They still are to honor their parents. Now, I'm very aware that this is much easier. It's much easier to honor parents when they're godly, when they're godly parents. I know special days, even though I enjoy doing a special message for various ones, I know especially Mother's Day, Father's Day can be very difficult for some people for various reasons. Maybe your mother has died, and so the thought of Mother's Day just is bringing back grief. It's bringing back pain. So I understand that Mother's Day can be very difficult for some. Maybe we're a mother whose child has died or is wayward, who doesn't know Christ, who's away from Him in rebellion. That's a reason for difficulty on this day. Maybe we as a child experienced neglect and abuse from our mother instead of love. I know this can be a difficult day. But we need to understand, even then, that honor is a heart attitude of love which puts the spiritual best interest and welfare of the other person above ourselves. Someone who is abusive, someone who is not a good mother, is still to be honored in the sense of relating to them by putting their best interest above our own and doing what is for their best, which may be doing some difficult things towards them. Also, we're told in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, to render honor to civil authorities because of their God-given position in government. Now think about that. Although we may deplore in elective officials' politics or be repulsed by their conduct, we're still commanded by God to respect their office because it has been established by God. And that's what this honor is about primarily. It's respecting the God-given position and the authority of our parent. We are to honor our parents by showing them proper respect and value, primarily because of their God-given position in our life. We did not choose our parents. God did. And He knew everything that was going to happen. And even then, He commands us to honor them. And our particular background and upbringing is all part of our personal testimony and how God has worked and is still working presently in our lives to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ for His glory. Now notice that in regards to the command to honor your father and mother, here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, Paul goes on to say, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, as a general rule and principle, showing honor to our parents, whatever our upbringing may have been, comes with a promise. It comes with a promise, which is a special twofold blessing to those who obey this command. First of all, it is the blessing of quality of life, so that it may be well with you. The word well here means good. It means good. When we obey God in showing honor by treating our father and our mother with proper respect, with reverence, with dignity, we will enjoy God's blessing of not only having an internal sense of doing right by obeying Him, but also the joy of pleasing Him as well as our parents. Second, it's the blessing of quantity of life. Not only quality of life, but quantity. And that you may live long on the earth. And again, this is a general rule or principle. The command to honor our parents is so serious to God, and it was back in the Old Testament for Israel, that to dishonor and disrespect them resulted in death. You see that in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Proverbs even talks about that. To disrespect, to dishonor parents was a very serious offense. Ezekiel 22 tells us that one of the reasons for the Babylonian exile was the people's failure to honor their parents. And you see that in Ezekiel 22, verse 7 and verse 15. Now, although our length of days on earth is solely according to the sovereign purposes of God, again, our life is in His hands. He dictates all of that. But as a general rule, when we honor our parents and obey God's wise commands in His Word, we will escape a great deal of sin and avoid certain dangers that can shorten our life. Proverbs 4:10 says, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." Then in chapter 10, verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, for the years of the wicked will be shortened." So the first aspect of honoring mothers is God's command. God's command to honor them. The second aspect is this. I call it practical ways to show honor. Practical ways to show honor. How do we practically live out and show the honor in our hearts whether that be to our own mother, if she is still living, whether that be to the mother of our children, or to the mothers around us. What does that look like? Let me give you seven ways that I believe honor mother. The first way is to love her unconditionally. To love her unconditionally. You see, like us, no mother is perfect. You know, we tend to forget that. Mothers aren't perfect. Therefore, we practically show her honor when we love her as God loves us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Notice that God chose to lavish his affection on us while we were yet sinners. God-haters, enemies of God. Not because we're so lovable and deserving of his love. God chose to do that. He took the initiative. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, which we looked at a couple weeks back in our study of 1 John, we read, "We love because he first loved us." We love God, we love other people. Why? Because he first loved us. We not only know how to love God and others, but we are also empowered to love them because of his love for us. Now, God forbid that a parent ever becomes an enemy, that they put themselves in that place because of their abuse in our life. But even then, listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. He said, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." He also went on to say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 46, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that," here's the reason why, "so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors, who were those who were considered kind of the bottom rung, do not even the tax collectors do the same?" You see, as believers, we can love with Christ-like love by God's grace, even our enemies. We can do good. We can bless them. We can pray for them. Because we have a new heart as Christians. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, we are different. We have a new heart. We have a divine nature. We have God the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us, who has poured out the love of God in our hearts. We can't do this on our own strength. But by his grace and with him, we can be different. God has given us all the resources we need to put Jesus on display in our lives, if we will but choose to depend on him to do so. If your mother's still living, don't take it for granted that she knows that you love her unconditionally. I encourage you, tell her, "Mom, I love you." Let her know. The second way is to forgive her compassionately. To forgive her compassionately. We who are believers have been forgiven an insurmountable debt by God in Christ that could never be repaid, and which was deserving of eternal punishment. Therefore, for us to not forgive from our heart those who owe us a debt far less. Not to say it's not big, not to say it's not been damaging and very painful, but it's far less more than what we owe God. And therefore, not to forgive is wrong. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32 exhorts us as Christians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see, forgiveness is the obligation of the forgiven. And we are never more like God than when we forgive. The third way is to treat her respectfully. To treat her respectfully. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, the Lord told Moses to tell the sons of Israel, every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father. Reverence is similar to honor. The word refers to an attitude of deep respect that's tinged with a sense of awe. You see, it's never right to be irreverent or disrespectful to our parents. I don't think parents do their children any favors at all by allowing them to speak that way, disrespectfully, dishonorably to them or to anyone else. If we're going to honor our mother, then we must treat her respectfully in how we think about her and how we speak to her and how we act towards her. Disrespect should never be tolerated. The fourth way is to praise her sincerely. To praise her sincerely. Although Proverbs 31 is written by King Lemuel, he says in verse 1 that this is what his mother taught him. This chapter is a description of a worthy woman, of an excellent wife, of a godly mother from a woman's perspective, not from a man's. Therefore, having described her commitment to her family, as you go through the whole chapter, when you get down to the last couple of verses, listen to verses 28 through 31, where we read, her children, rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. A good and godly mother fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. That is what makes her a godly woman. She puts him first and foremost in her life, above her husband, above her children. He is first. And since the Lord and her family are her priorities, notice that she receives sincere praise from her children and her husband. I praise the Lord for my godly mother and my godly wife who have greatly helped me in so many ways. You know, and I think it's important that we think on the good qualities and the good things about our mother. Don't focus on the negative. We're told in Philippians 4:8 to dwell on those things that are good, that are true, that are of good repute. Those things that are positive. And I want to encourage you, if she is still living, thank her for what she does on your behalf. And if you're still in the home, continually thank her. Appreciate her for the sacrifices that she has made and continues to make. And to tell her of the good impact that she has made in your life. The fifth way I believe to show honor to mothers is to contact her regularly. To contact her regularly. The Apostle John said in 2 John 2, "Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and to speak face to face so that your joy may be full." John was a very relational guy. We've seen that as we've gone through 1 John. Nothing is more hurtful than feeling forgotten. Nothing's more hurtful than feeling like you've been forgotten. You know, we all have busy schedules. We all have hectic lives, especially in these days. It's very easy to fill up your days. My point is this: we must never forget the God-given priority of honoring our mothers. We honor her when we pray for her each day and stay in contact with her on a regular basis. Whether we give her a call on our phone, we make a personal visit, whatever we do, the point is that we need to spend some time talking with her. The sixth way to show honor to our moms is to assist her selflessly. To assist her selflessly. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God." Jesus is the supreme example of assisting his mother selflessly. Apparently, his earthly stepfather, Joseph, had passed away. And so we don't see him with Mary standing there watching at Jesus' crucifixion, watching her son be crucified. We don't see him. But notice how Jesus, while hanging on the cross, this is what gets me. Here he is hanging there on the cross in physical, emotional, spiritual agony, taking upon himself the punishment for man's sin as our substitute, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As he's hanging there, he selflessly loved and honored his mother to the end by being more concerned about her welfare than his own. In John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27, we're told, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," talking about the Apostle John, "standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." So here Jesus is hanging on the cross, telling John, "Take care of my mom." I mean, he is love personified. He loved to the end. He assisted her selflessly, right up to the point, because it says in John, right after that, again, he breathed his last and died. And just as Jesus showed honor to his mother by assisting her selflessly, so we too are to honor our mothers whenever they are in need. And then the seventh way to show honor is to please her deeply. To please her deeply. What do you think pleases a godly mother the most deeply and brings her the greatest joy? I've talked to a number of godly mothers through the years. And I believe they all say pretty much the same thing. Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 15 through 16, "My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. And my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." He goes on to say in verses 24 and 25, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." So here we see that children who are wise, who speak what is right, and who live righteous lives, please their parents deeply and bring them great joy. John said about his spiritual children in 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." What every godly mother cares most deeply about is the spiritual welfare of her children. You see, that's why she's a godly mother. Not that she doesn't care about other things, but what she cares about most deeply is their spiritual welfare. What she desires most is to know that her children are truly saved, that they have truly come to the place where they have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Because salvation is only in Him. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." So she wants to know that her children are truly saved, and also to know that they are living in obedience to the truth of God's word, that they are walking by the truth, that they're living by what God says, regardless of what occupation they have, that they're walking with the Lord, they're putting Jesus first in their life, they're honoring Him. That's what a godly mother most deeply longs for. When President William McKinley, the 25th president of the United States, was told that his mother was dying, before he went to her on a special train, he immediately sent her a telegram. He sent it to her physician, who would give that to her, which said this: "Tell mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there." That's all it said. Well, that message was picked up by the newspapers and it made headlines all around the United States. The president says, "Tell mom I'll be there." The gospel songwriter Charles Fillmore read this and was so inspired by these words that he composed a song with that title. The gospel singer Charles Alexander then sang it in the evangelistic meetings as he toured worldwide with evangelist R.A. Torrey. And that song was sang around the world. So much so that it was said about this song, "No other gospel song ever written was used of God so much to bring so many people to conviction and decision for Jesus Christ. Tell mother I'll be there." One of the stanzas and the chorus go like this: "When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. But now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there." The chorus: "Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my mother I'll be there." What a godly mother wants the most is to know that her children will be there with her in heaven. And until then, they're walking with Him according to the truth of His word. God commands that we honor our mothers. and to show them this honor in practical ways that minister to their hearts. May we all do that today and throughout the year so that our mothers will know, if they're still alive, that they will know how much they are loved and appreciated by us.